Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So today,
yep,
we have one of my favorite comedians.
Is he?
Well, I saw some of his stuff. Really like it.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I think he's very funny. Very funny man. And I loved his Almost Royal.
Do you know what? I'm just going to say this before we...
Go on then.
Okay, I'm going to say this before we get in.
I wasn't stopping you or anything.
Oh, I know. I really love doing this podcast with you.
Oh, I love it too.
Really just love it.
It's
we get to meet cool people. We get to hang out.
You get to hang out with cool people.
I get to hang out with some cool cats.
Yeah.
I get to chat life and lessons and love and literature.
We just...
All the L's that I go for.
It's actually great just being able to chat and shoot the breeze.
Cut
the shit.
Cut the cloth.
You're touching the cloth.
So today, ladies and gentlemen, on the podcast, we have Mr. Ed Gamble. He is a very funny comedian. He does a podcast called Off Menu with James Acaster, which is very funny. You should go and check it out.
Check out his stuff on YouTube if you want to see his stuff. His tickets.
It's like you're saying, go and check out his junk. Go and check out his junk on YouTube if you want to.
And check out his amazing body transformation as well, because he lost 6 stone.
You are fascinated by that, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's quite impressive.
But he's a very good looking man. He is one of the best hosts, I still think.
Yeah.
He has a very good hosting voice.
Oh, because you think he sounds friendly?
He just sounds friendly. I think he's very warming, and so he's very unassuming. He's very
friendly.
What is something where you feel, oh, there you are, you're worried about them? What is
it? Unafraid.
What is it when you're worried about someone? You know, you're a bit like, oh.
Uneasy.
Uneasy. He's not uneasy, though. He's the opposite of uneasy.
He's easy.
Oh, this is why I love the podcast. Hey, a big shout out to all of you listeners who continue to just tune in and hang out with us. If you want to follow us on Instagram, please follow at Private Podcast. Same on Twitter as well. And please leave a review and a comment. And please email us at privateparts@privatepartspodcast.com. We are going to start answering your problems like we used to do. We're going to bring that back, and we're going to start really, really getting to know all of our listeners, because without you guys, we said every time, we wouldn't be here. So thank you for that. Anyway, without further delay, please, Francis, why don't you announce our guest?
Mr. Edward Gamble, or Ed for short. I was going to buy the Red Sox, but then I didn't have the money.
But you thought about buying it?
Yeah, I was really dead set on buying it, but... Just couldn't afford the price they were asking.
Wait, who did you contact to try and buy the Red Sox?
LeBron James.
He doesn't own the Red Sox. He owns Liverpool. That's what you
know. I got off on the wrong foot. You know, even at that stage.
Well, what follows? How did you get in contact with LeBron James, the basketball player?
Well, actually, you know, I just gave him a call.
Okay, and where did you get his number from?
Just guessed it.
Wow. I think if someone guesses your phone number, you should sell them the Red Sox.
Hey,
whether you own it or not.
But yeah, he was asking too much because he had to buy it off some other guy first.
Yeah, he's going to lose whatever, isn't it? Even if he buys it at £1.10, that's not worth his while.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. Joined with us today is Ed Gamble. Hello, Ed.
Hello.
Hello. Do you know, you have the friendliest voice to sort of intro things. You just got a really friendly voice.
Well, thank you very much. I've gone too friendly there. It's almost creepy now.
Yeah, but I feel like you have a voice that was like born to like host.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. What do you think, Francis?
You've got the voice that Jamie would die for.
Yeah.
I wouldn't die for it. I would definitely steal it.
No, it'd be a waste if you died for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't die. I wouldn't die, but I'd steal. If I could steal your hosting voice, I would steal it.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
What would I get your voice?
No, you'd have LeBron James's.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know what? I'm kind of happy with that deal.
Wait, so what would happen to your voice?
who would get
your voice?
I don't know. If you could have anyone's voices, what voice would you steal if you could steal a voice?
I mean, it's a big question off the top, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we like to do. No format, straight in there, go.
Probably it's just like a proper gruff, gruff Cockney voice, yeah. I think. Something with a bit more authority.
What?
I feel my voice is friendly, sure, but it's a bit reedy.
But friendly, you know, how easy is it to be sexy if you've got a friendly voice?
It's impossible. If you have a friendly voice, it's impossible to be sexy.
So you're saying that Ed Gamble
real
isn't
burn,
sexy?
Real burn off the top.
Is he saying it's impossible for you to be sexy, Ed?
Yeah, I'm getting that. I can be sexy.
No, let's
be... Hello, madam.
Okay, hold on. Just quickly before we get into that. I reckon all three of us have never been sexy. I don't think we've ever been sexy. So go on, Ed. So you try and be sexy. So here we go. Yeah. So I'm going to be the girl.
Okay.
Right. Hi.
Hello. How's it going?
It's like, I was never...
Well, you're about to say, how do you be sexy?
Yeah, I don't know how to be sexy. How do you be sexy? When have you ever been sexy? God, think of a time when you thought, fuck, I was sexy.
I've been in a relationship for 8 years. I do not remember the last time I was sexy. There is no call for me to be sexy anymore. I can just be friendly.
This is what happens in relationships as well, okay? This is what I've worked out.
From the expert.
Yeah, from me over here. But this is what I've worked out. There's so many things that go in relationships, right? So all lots of things. But one thing that I have found out, does your girlfriend do this? Does your girlfriend do this? Probably not. We sat down and watched the movie Enough last night. Do you know, it's with Jennifer Lopez. She basically marries this really wealthy guy, then turns out he's a stalker and he tries to, like, you know, doesn't...
I think it's probably
leave.
Say, I watched enough of the movie.
No, I watched Enough the movie.
It's called Enough of the movie.
No, it's called Enough.
Oh.
It's not, I didn't watch enough of the movie. It's cool.
This is
enough.
Like an old school double act. I love
it. Yeah. Oh, get ready. So my girlfriend and I were lying in bed, and my girlfriend was asking if we could cuddle and probably get a little bit romantic and whatever. And I was like, no, we're watching the movie. And this guy in this movie basically was having a shower.
And that's why you wanted to watch the movie, isn't it?
You're like, no, this is the best bit. And Jennifer Lopez tries to get in the shower. And we know that he's got something wrong with him, going to be aggressive, all these kind of things. And he says, no, I just want to have a shower.
It's kind of like a metaphor for you watching the movie.
And my girlfriend got annoyed at me because she was like, that's exactly what you're like. She was like, that's exactly what you're like. I said, what? Like an aggressive human? Because I don't want... So no, she's like, that's what you're like. You don't want to be romantic with me. And I was like, well, I just don't feel...
You're always taking showers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever have?
You do. You go and have showers, and you have wanks in the shower, don't you?
No, I don't go and do that.
Shanks.
No, I don't.
Shower wank.
No, I don't go and do
you
that.
You do. You admitted that the other day on this podcast.
Do you, Jamie?
Yeah. No, I...
Yes, you did.
Did I?
You have a wank
yes,
in the shower.
It's
called a shank.
Look. We're not... none of us are sexy around this table. We've all had a wank in the shower, so that has to be...
I'm
true.
I'm not sure. I have had a wank in the shower.
Absolute lies, Ed Gamble. 100%. Yeah.
I like to compartmentalize my life. I'll have a wank before a shower, sure. Also, I distinctly remember reading an issue of FHM when I was 13, and one of the letters was about someone who'd had a wank in the shower and his knees had buckled as he came, and he grabbed the shower curtain and then broke his hip.
Oh my God.
No way I'm ever doing that. And he called it, I specifically remember this, wanker's rickets. Oh my God. You know how things just stick in your head?
Does that really? But you've got a seat in your shower, so you don't have to worry about that.
I don't have a
you've
seat
got one of those old people showers. Have you got a bath with a door in it as well?
He does. Yeah. Wait, you've got a seat and a bar on the wall.
Wait, hang on. What is a bath with a door in it? What is that?
On those adverts you see, like, it's basically for old people, if they don't run the bath and then open the door. They get in through
the
door.
They don't open the door after they've run the bath either, because there's
quite a lot. I mean, it's quite a lot for them to take on, really. There's a lot. You've got to get in the specific order. You open the door, you get in, you shut it, then you run the bath with you in it, drain the bath, then open the door and get out. So they don't have to swing their legs over the top.
That's what I love. I love you do this though, because you go touring and you go to different hotels. That's what I love about a bath in a hotel room, one of those sort of not really fancy ones, but like a sort of, you know, not like a touring hotel.
And they've got this weird rubber yoga mat.
That's exactly what they are. Yeah.
What? They just stick to your back. Those suction cups.
I love the thought of Francis getting out, going checking in, seeing there's a yoga class, and coming down with his own mat from the bath. To the yoga lesson. Where do you get that from? Oh, from the bath.
It's not big enough.
The bath yoga mat.
Well, I love that, but I also love the little handlebars they have on the side, so you can make a wave in the water.
Again, that's exactly what they're there for. Your own little wave machine.
Ed, how are you there, man?
Very well, thank you, mate.
So listen, firstly, we've got to start off with podcasts, because you're like the podcast, like,
king.
You're the podcast king.
That's what I'm calling myself, yeah.
But you started a podcast. You were called one of the retro podcasters.
A pioneer.
Yeah, I think a pioneer is a good way of putting it.
Retro.
Is that not it?
Everything you did, you used really old school mics.
We recorded it in flares.
You released it on vinyl.
Yeah, exactly. An early adopter, I'd say.
But you were. You did it when no one really knew what a podcast was.
Yeah, there was... Ricky Gervais, I think, is credited with doing them sort of pretty early doors. And then quite soon after that, I did a podcast with a comedian called Ian Boldsworth. We started doing a podcast together. And we did that for a few years. Mm-hmm. But then a long time in the wilderness with no podcasts. And then I've just started a new one.
But I thought you did one with Ray Peacock.
Yeah, so his real name's Ian Boldsworth.
Oh.
So that's Jamie. The name he goes by.
Oh, it's thrown me. Shit, does that mean we should have changed our names? No one would have listened to it. Why would they have listened to it? Yeah. So you started this podcast. But back in the day, I think with podcasts, where did you put... Was there a podcast thing that you have now on the iPhones and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, it's all been there on Apple.
It was on iTunes.
Since,
since the beginning. That's why I got the name podcast, because it's from the iPods.
I think that's correct.
I just don't think that's true.
Yeah, it was so you could listen to radio shows on your iPod.
And so that's why they named it podcast?
Yeah, because broadcasting on your podcast.
Well, that's a very interesting way of putting it. I like it. So you started that.
You should really, brush up on the history of podcasts.
I just don't think that's true. I just don't think that's the reason why they're called podcasts.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's exactly why.
I think it might be the reason.
But anyway, okay, fine. We're digressing massively. So you started this podcast and you thought it was going to be, it was kind of successful. And it kind of got this really good cult following.
Yes.
That went on. And then what you did, which is so interesting, is that you kind of took that to the Edinburgh Fringe, didn't you? Edinburgh Festival, and you started doing that.
Well, we did do the podcast live at the Edinburgh Festival, but also we then had a double act as well, like a more traditional
Peacock
double
and
act.
Gamble.
Yeah, Peacock and Gamble, yeah.
So how big was this cult?
I mean, cults by their very nature are small but dedicated, is how I'd put
so
it.
So is it a good thing to have a cult following, or is it like a...
Yeah,
Francis,
I mean,
is like the idea of a cult.
Or is it, unless you're the leader of the cult, then that's a good thing, probably.
That's all right, yeah. And we were. We were the leaders.
Yeah, you're the leaders,
cult.
Yeah.
What did you make your cult? What did you make them do?
Well, the problem is a podcast cult. They're not really in the vicinity, a lot of them. So you can't make them do a lot apart from,
Well, you can. You can order them over the podcast.
Let's all meet in Camden.
Yeah.
Throw beer at people.
Was that your first thought? That's what, if you had a legion of people under your control, you're going to throw some beer at people
let's
in
all
Camden.
Go and
did
get...
you ever did you have a podcast meetup where you said, okay, all of the listeners can come and meet up in Hyde Park?
What, and then get them all there and go, I don't really know what to do now. Sorry,
didn't
everyone.
I didn't think you would actually turn up.
I've got to go, actually. I've got a meeting.
Yeah, I'm a bit busy, but...
I would just go and get loads of nerve guns and, those nerve
guns.
Are they called nerve or nerve?
Nerve agents.
Nerve guns sounds like something you'd kill a cow with.
No, there's these like things that you fire out that have like, they're like foam bullets.
Nerf, yeah, yeah, nerf guns.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would go and get loads of...
Yeah, I thought you said nerve gun.
I think I did say nerve gun, but then I realised what I'd said, so I changed it. So then you had your... So was the double act before the podcast, or the podcast inspired the double act?
The podcast inspired the double act. So we did the podcast for a little bit and then did it live a couple of times and then thought we'd do more traditional double acts. It's more sketch-based type thing.
Very similar to... The Private Parts live show. Yeah.
Basically, what we're saying is we see ourselves very much in you.
Yes, okay.
In a very unsexy
way. Jamie, in a very different way.
Well, obviously in an unsexy way, because we've already established you cannot be sexy.
Unless we take one of those old people's baths together. Yeah. And I'll lock that door.
I was listening to an episode of this podcast earlier, actually, and you were talking about your live show, which mm-hmm. you start naked, is that right?
Yeah. So
he insisted, it was weird.
Yeah. And but it was a daunting thing, because every single time I went on stage, you know, I'd done stage at school and things like that, yeah. but going on stage and I was naked every single night, and for some reason...
You did that in school, didn't you?
You know how things stick in your mind, like the FHM yeah. thing. My thing, every single time I got to the top of the stairs, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get a boner. And that's what I kept thinking. And one night, I thought I'd just get duct tape and just try and stab it
down. That'll be weird.
Well, I don't know. I just was so... It's the only thing that I would go into my mind that I would freak out about. I would go, what happens if this happens? It'd be awful.
That's not my ideal scenario for a boner, though. You know, that's...
yeah.
Ed, you forget I wank in showers.
You like the panic. I just think... I've done a lot of gigs. Mm-hmm. I've never got a boner on stage. I don't think the two are compatible.
No, but I think what...
Unless that's your show.
Unless that is the show, exactly.
But I think what I'm saying, in my mind, I got a neurotic mind. So what I do is I think about the worst possible thing that could happen. It was getting a boner or raptors running in and attacking me.
No, but
which made the boner more intense, if anything.
But did you find yourself trying to get erotic thoughts out of your mind before you went... If I'd known that, I would have really tried to
you should have
counterbalance
been
really, that. I'd have been really sexy around you.
It's just very... But surely you have these moments, right? So when you started... When you took your double act on tour, mm-hmm. and you first started... Because the Edinburgh Festival, right? It was
2011, 2012, and 2013 we did as the double act.
So that's your first ever show you ever did?
No, I mean, I'd done full runs at the Edinburgh Festival, but just doing like short spots and doing like mixed bill shows and stuff.
Oh, so
doing
you
stand-up.
Had done stuff before.
So we were both doing stand-up anyway.
I watched your Russell Howard.
Yeah.
Because it was quite a long set on... Usually they're like 5 minutes.
You have done a couple of shows.
So there was one... actually, you've lost a lot of weight since
Yeah, so
since
okay,
then.
That's the one. Yeah.
And an impressive amount, I must say. And
6 stone.
Yeah,
is the official published amount. But I've probably put on like another stone since then.
You lost 6 stone?
Yeah,
that's quite a lot of
big fat boy.
It was actually kind of a different, you know, like called a sort
exactly.
of different vibe. And then I looked at your live at the Apollo.
Yeah,
which is similar but different. But you were obviously a lot skinnier.
Yeah, that's the more recent one. Yeah.
So were you like, is that Ed Gamble?
Yeah. I know. I watched the Apollo one first, and then I watched the Russell Howard. I was like, whoa.
Which one are we going to get?
Yeah.
I'm going to put bets before he walks through the door.
But what I'm interested in is that so you were doing your individual acts, you were doing all that kind of stuff, and then I suppose. It's quite a unique situation when you find someone that you can connect with has the same sort of comedy as you. So how did you find that partner?
Well, weirdly, he'd been going for a little bit longer than me. So when I was at uni, I used to do sketch comedy and every...
The Durham Review.
The Durham Review. Well researched, guys.
Durham University. Durham. From King's College, Wimbledon.
Wow, look at this research.
KCS Wimbledon.
Okay. Was that the nickname for it?
Yeah.
How do you know
the abbreviation?
It's literally the abbreviation.
How do you know that?
Yeah. What? You mentalist. Oh, hold on, everyone. So before we get into a little bit more, we have a little word from our sponsors.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com.
Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back from our sponsors. Well, it's not welcome back from our sponsors. Welcome back from us.
Yeah.
With Ed Gamble. Hi, Ed.
Hello.
Hello. The nicest voice Hello. In show business. So you had done stand-up at Durham University.
Yeah, started doing stand-up and sketch comedy at Durham University.
But what I am just so interested in when it comes to comedians, and where do you... At university, okay, I was interested in...
drugs.
No, I was not interested in drugs. I was interested in trying to get with girls, and that was pretty much it. The last thing in my mind was trying to pursue a career of some sort. And actually, I suppose I did acting. I did a lot of acting, but what I'm trying to say is that standing up in front of a crowd and writing comedy and things like this, and I ask this to every comedian, what gave you the incentive to go, right, I'm going to go and do something like that?
I loved it. Like, it was never, I don't think at university it was ever me thinking, oh, this could be my career. I just really enjoyed doing it. So just dedicated a lot of my time at uni to doing it and didn't do enough proper work, really. And also that's how I met like-minded people, through the Durham Review and doing all that sort of thing. So Nish Kumar, who you might be aware of his work, he was at Durham as well. We were in the Durham Review together, and a few other comics who are still going now as well. So we just spent a lot of time together doing that and hanging out. So it was more fun than anything. And no, I didn't have a career plan.
And also, Jamie, you said you wanted to get girls.
Yeah.
But probably, you know, you wanted to make girls laugh and then
sure,
get
that's
girls.
Always an element of it, yeah.
Do you think so?
That's what you wanted to...
No,
you wanted to get girls. Maybe you thought it came too easily. Maybe you're just...
I definitely didn't. Nothing came easy to me, really. It did for a bit, and then suddenly it just all stopped, which is real... It's the worst. It's like going from... It's like it just suddenly all went, and I never told you that story. Maybe I haven't. I went to university, had a girlfriend who was very lovely, and then we broke up. She threw all of my clothes on a roof, and I came back and they had frozen to the roof.
Gosh, you've got a strong arm on.
They had frozen. It was terrible. So that happened.
It's really hard to throw clothes on a roof.
Yeah. Threw them out the window. Upwards, didn't she?
She threw them up out the window.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, she hated you.
Yeah, she really hated me. So that ended. And then...
Are they still there?
Yeah, they're probably still... Do you know, I've got another side. Something which is still there. When I was at school, I wasn't a prefect, so I was called a sheriff. So that's why I named myself. And there was a roof that you could climb on. And so you would...
I'm just going to let that slide, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when it gets to the story.
Walking down the corridors going, pew, 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 pew. Oh, here comes Sheriff Lang.
See, you have been sexy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, really. In all boys' school.
It was a special school.
And so I used to invite people up to Sheriff's Tower. Actually, Andrew Strauss's name was engraved on one of the clay tiles there, the ex-England cricket captain.
What does that have to do with the story?
It's just an added bonus. And so we're on the roof, and a friend of mine really needed the bathroom, and so he peed into a water bottle and left it on the roof. I went back to the school 6 years later and said, oh, I'm going to go back on Sheriff's Tower. Climbed up on Sheriff's Tower. The water bottle was still there.
The piss was still there.
And so I reckon it's still here to this day. My clothes are not on the other roof, but those ones are. But anyway, where was I? That was it. So I had my girlfriend at university who threw my clothes onto the roof then froze there. And I was kind of like the fun one who had a girlfriend. And then the girlfriend broke up with me, and so we did that. And I was then like known as the fun one. So I wasn't that sexy. So I didn't get hook up with anyone. And I remember this one night that I came back into my university sort of flat that I was living with my two friends. And I was very, very drunk. And I apparently walked into the flat. I hadn't hooked up with anyone. And I walked in the flat and kicked open the door and went, boys, I'm going to bed. And I had a girl with me. And the guys were like, who is this girl you brought? And I was like, see you later, boys. And walked in bed. And the girl then just left. Shut the door because I'd made it so embarrassing.
Because you were still in sheriff.
Yeah,
because...
Because apparently you went through your entire university career doing the voice of an American sheriff. More! Kicked open the saloon door.
Yeah, so what I'm sort of saying is I don't think being funny was that sexy at university.
It's not like you even tried, really, is it?
Well, I think I did try, but I think I was just... People didn't find me that sexy and funny. What about you, Ed? Were you...
No, I mean, I was genuinely so into the comedy. I think there was an element of it where I thought it might attract girls, but I think I was just a proper comedy geek, so I think a lot of it was just about doing comedy.
But how did you learn your craft? Is that what everyone does? You try it out, you try it out, you
just
try it out.
Just be shit for ages and work out what works.
So funny, we had Tom Lucy on the podcast, and he said most comedians are shit for 10 years and then suddenly become good.
He's been going about six. Yeah. That's an absolute self-burn from Tom Lucy.
No. No, he said the first 2 years.
Sorry.
Frank Skinner says 10 years.
Yeah, like to find your voice, I think.
And I think that's the key thing, that you had to find what are you? What are you delivering? What are you giving over, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you then left Durham and you decided to take on comedy.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think I was thinking that's going to be my career. I was just thinking I'll try it a little bit outside of Durham, because you're within a bubble, obviously, at uni, and you're sort of the quite safe audiences to perform in front of. So I thought I'll just give it a go. And then it just kept happening.
It sounds like drugs. Yeah. Do you remember, and then it just suddenly spiraled. Yeah. Now look,
got really out of hand. Do you remember your first ever opener?
Now I used to compare a lot, so there was just a lot of chat with the audience.
See, I told you, your voice, man. You're born to host.
I do a lot of hosting of gigs as well. Yeah, and I can get away with being horrible to people because of my cheeky, friendly voice. I don't remember the first opener. The first gig I did was a competition that was a very stupid idea.
You entered the competition on your first gig.
That was my first stand-up gig, was a competition.
That's quite bold.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be for new acts. But what I didn't realise was that what everyone did was just do a year's worth of gigs and then do it and say they were a new act.
So that was your first...
It was my first gig.
So it was actually with professionals. So
it was... Mickey Flanagan was comparing that gig.
So I don't know. How did you do in the competition?
I got through to the semi-final.
Really?
So I did one gig, and I don't know if I'd not got through whether I'd still be doing it, because that just gave me such a confidence boost. I crashed out in the second round.
But I reckon that's just because they're like, this guy's just got such a friendly face.
Yeah. Let's really. One day he's going to host something.
Let's really keep on. Because Francis, we can say, you know, Francis started gigging and doing different things around the place, and he started out and doing different pubs and stuff like that. And he knows the nerves that kick in when you first start doing it. It's intense.
Well, especially if you're first, when you're testing out new material, it's like jumping out of a plane.
Yeah, get that with new material, because you can hone a bit for as long as you like, and it's like dead set bulletproof. Then as soon as it comes to working on a new bit, I'm like, well, I don't know how to do this anymore.
Well, that's the thing. It is really, and I actually have jumped out of a plane, and it was very similar. The feeling of going out and trying new,
off just bombing.
No, but this is
bombing.
Yeah. But the first 5 minutes that I did was all new, like all new stuff, right?
Yeah.
So there was just no guarantee that any of it will.
Well, that's the thing. If you're doing an all new five, and the first bit doesn't work, you can't go, well, at least I've got that bit coming up later that
I know
is going to get me out of it. You got nothing in the back pocket.
That's the scariest thing about it, I think, is that like testing out new, and you have to do that when you start.
God, I just, when we were on stage, I'd have moments leading up to it where I was going, God, I just know that bit's not going to be funny.
You have to do it because it's in the script.
I think it's worse when you know it's not funny.
Yeah.
Rather than going, oh, this could be funny, you go, shit, this isn't.
How am I going to make this funny?
I do that all the time, where if it's a tricky audience and I do a bit that normally works and it doesn't get anything, and all I'm thinking is, I've got some shaky bits coming up later. God almighty, how are you going to react?
Hey, Ed, I'm having an absolute lovely time.
Really?
Yeah, I really am.
I've been laughing since the get-go.
Oh, holy thanks, man. Don't worry. Yeah. I really appreciate making you guys chuckle. It's all me, isn't it? Right, going to make you chuckle even more because I have my diary. Now,
here we go.
Saturday. My New Year's resolution is writing more thank you letters.
Immediately the poshest diary entry of all time.
No, it's not. I opened up my letter writing kit, got on my fountain pen, and got my quill, started to write.
Wax seal?
Yeah, oh, delightful. Yeah. The stamp on the back.
Do you write it in your handwriting?
I don't have a writer for me, do I? What would I get someone to write it? You sit there and write.
Walk around dictating whilst wearing a robe.
A scribe.
Yeah.
Just throwing things at people. So I decided that I should try and stick to it. I don't mean that I'm going to write thank you letters for no reason. That would be silly. Or just thank you letters in general. But if I'm invited to someone's house on holiday, a birthday party, I will write a thank you letter.
So especially if it's a nice house.
What?
Because you want to get invited back.
Yeah, exactly. Most people say they want to have resolutions, but they don't actually fulfil their promises. Do you have any resolutions?
No, because I never fulfil them.
Well, there you go.
I feel like shit about myself if I don't do it.
There you go. Exactly. So you're part of my tribe. Whatever that is. What should we call ourselves?
What? The failures?
Yeah, we should do that. Think of a name. We'll do it at the end.
All right. Do what at the end?
I don't know.
Well, let's say we're going to do it at the end and not do it.
Yeah, because we're failures. Yeah. Most people say they want to have resolutions, but they don't actually fulfill their promises. So to be away from the crowd, I decided to sit down and begin my letters. I decided I like to do is sit next to the computer, and if I don't know what to spell, write it on the computer and then have spell check. However, it's a little demoralizing when I have to spell check unbelievable.
So hang on, this is the most roundabout way of writing a letter. You're handwriting a letter with a computer next to you to spell check for
Wait,
you.
Wait, so you're handwriting it?
Why would you
then
not?
Why would you not just write
type
it in the
letter?
Type it and then write it,
or just type the letter?
Well, that would have been better. I had to start the letter three times because I kept making mistakes. Anyway, I also found an error with the Mac computer. They don't have thesaurus.
Why? Shouldn't you be telling this to them?
Yeah, I should do. Hey, Mac, listen to this. You don't have thesaurus, which meant I had to use words like generous and beautiful.
Oh, is this Word?
No, I'm not using it. I'm using just the list thing. Whatever. I haven't bought
Notes.
Word. Notes, yeah. I don't have Word on
You
Mac.
Should get Word.
You should just get Word because it's got this thing called synonyms.
Cinnamons.
No.
Wait, so you were spell checking each word in Notes?
Yeah, I was. And sometimes in my text message. They don't have thesaurus, which meant I had to use words like generous and beautiful instead of bountiful. And I actually couldn't read this one, so Ed, you're going to have to read that out for me. What does that mean?
I've got absolutely no idea.
Apparently that means beautiful. Yeah, I read it on thesaurus.
Try and pronounce it.
It's pulchritudinous.
Yeah, apparently that means beautiful.
And ironically, a horrible word.
Yeah.
Pulchritudinous.
Yeah, pulchritudinous.
What were you trying to describe as generous and beautiful?
I can't. My girlfriend's father's house.
Right.
Yeah. Generous and beautiful.
Your house is generous.
Your house is pulchritudinous. My liege.
The most pulchritudinous kitchen.
I wrote my two letters, one to a friend's parents, thanking them for a beautiful wedding, and I was invited to, and the other to my girlfriend's dad, thanking him for having me to stay. I spell checked, bought envelopes, stamps, licked the envelope, which I hate doing, walked to the red post box and posted them.
Wait, so you sealed it and then licked it?
No, that's I licked weird. It. Then.
So you used the glue and then you licked the other side?
I sniffed the glue. Licked,
you smudged the address.
So you wrote the address and then licked it.
I walked to the red post box and posted them.
Red post book.
I'm not sure that letter's going to get there, Jamie.
Well, funny you should say that.
I put it in the red post book.
Uh-oh.
Funny you should say that. As the last envelope left my fingers, I realised in horror what mistake I had made. I had specially put a different stamp on the envelope which I was going to send to my girlfriend's dad, and as I saw it leave my fingers, I had put the wrong address on the wrong envelope. I had sent the wrong letters to the wrong address.
Two letters.
So my girlfriend's dad is going to receive the wedding one to Amanda and Philippe.
And Amanda and Philippe are going to get a letter thanking them for their pulchritudinous house. This is a disaster.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. That's a good start to the new year. That's my diary, everyone.
That is.
Shall we have the question of the week
based on your...
Hey, hold on, Ed. What did you think of the diary?
I loved it.
It was good, right?
I loved it. The sort of the crazy stuff you're getting up to in your life.
Just writing letters.
Writing thank you letters.
And checking thesaurus.
Having a big mix-up.
Well, Francis, let's have the question of the week. What were you? Have you not got it?
All right. Well, how many times?
I love it when people go into a sentence when they don't know how it's going to end.
How many times does the average man masturbate a year?
Making this up in your head.
So, but do you know the answer?
I know the answer. Sorry, in a lifetime.
In a lifetime, right.
You said that before you...
Do you know? I know the answer.
Ed, as our guest, what do you think the answer is?
So how many times does the average man
masturbate in a lifetime?
Should we team up together in this one?
I beg your pardon.
Should we work it out? The average person lives for what, 70 years, let's say? They live for 70 years.
75, I'd say.
75 years, and probably 11 of those years or 12 of those years, you're not doing much, are you? So that
What do you mean?
Well, for the first 12 years of your life, I don't really think that you are masturbating.
Weren't you doing that weird thing with your blanket?
Yeah. This doesn't count, though, Francis.
But how are you defining masturbating?
Oh, I guess...
To completion.
Yeah, I think so.
Did you...
Otherwise, it's not...
I don't think it counts
otherwise, is it? It's just, no, that's just think, fun, yeah. Fun things.
So 75 minus 63. So you go 63...
So that's 63 years of wanking.
63 years, 365 days in a year, and you're going to do it four times a week. So let's do four...
Four times a week?
Three times two at once?
What's normal?
Well, Jamie's...
You went straight in with four in a week.
No, he went so low when he was buying the Red Sox, I went high. That's why.
No. I think... So four times a week is how much you...
I'm going to say three. I'm going to say...
Why are you two?
I'm going to say two.
No, hang on. No.
Well, I don't know.
Just be honest.
How many times a week, Jamie?
I'm going to say... I would assume
you said four. So let's take the first answer.
I'm not going to say four. I'm going to say.
How many times do you masturbate a week? Jamie?
I don't. I am in a relationship, so right. I wouldn't know.
Right. So you wouldn't know how many. So you just do it in sleep, blindfolded. Do it.
I now like bird box. Yeah. It's way more exciting. Yeah. Oh, who is it? And then I open the bath to my... What? Open the door to my bath. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so we're not going to go for four. We're going to go for three.
Go three times a week on average.
Three times 52 is 156. Times that by 65. It's about that amount. So
that seems low.
All right, Egan. Well, how much do you want to add on to that?
Well, at the moment, I think maybe we should...
Double it? At the moment, we have 10,140.
Also, bear in mind, I don't think Francis knows the answer.
No, I do know the answer.
Right, okay,
fine. So
let's just nice round 10,000.
Well, you just gone down instead of...
Okay, but why don't you guys both have your own take on that answer? So which one it would be? Who?
I think it's 10K.
All right, you go 10K. I'll
go for 50.
Should I go big? Should I go... million.
Million times.
I'll go 13,000.
Oh my God.
Per week.
Okay. Right. Well, listen, everyone. We're going to find out in part two where we're going
to... Oh, that's a hook, isn't it?
Yeah.
That'll bring them coming back, won't it?
God, they can't wait. They can't wait to find out. Plus, we're going to have more of the...
Wait. At the end of part two, so...
Drop-off rate. Stick with it.
And we're going to have the... Ed Gamble with us.
Pulchritudinous.
Ed Gamble with us. See you in part two.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.